Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Prince D, and with me, as always, the man formerly known as Timbo Slice Timmy B. Before we start, please take a moment to subscribe to us on YouTube and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and use code FIGHTINSIGHT15, save 15% on any order you make. On today's episode, we discuss the big 1FC card coming on March 26th, 1X. Discuss whether or not it's important to learn English, and cap off the episode by interviewing a 1FC Adam Waite waiting in the wings. All this and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it! Yes, Timmy B.
Prince D. Right in sight. Yes, if you are here for the interview with Ty Kitt and Grace Cleveland, skip to the last 25 minutes or so. That's where the interview happens. We interviewed her last week, so we're going to put it at the end of this podcast, as we do when that happens. So skip ahead if you want to do that. But we have lots to talk about, Prince.
I don't know why people would want to skip ahead.
Yeah, why the hell would you do
that? Our podcast is entertaining. Things really happen. It's like, yeah, it's fun.
So you and
the whole thing.
If you have a keen eye, Prince, you will notice that I'm not wearing my regular jacket to look professional. I'm not wearing my Fight Insight t-shirt because today we are sporting papow some Bloodsport clothing. This is from the old Van Damme movie.
Yes.
Prince, these were given to us by Retro Kid_TO.
Kids.
Right?
Guys, listen, like, man, this movie alone it's a classic.
Yeah, man.
Classic.
So these shirts you can get at RetroKid_TO. So go to RetroKid_TO. They have all these different branded merchandise, but their line that really hit with us as a combat sports podcast is Bloodsport. And I have some other stuff. I'll show it next podcast as well. But Prince and I are sporting two wicked shirts. The quality is really good.
Oh.
I like how they have their little logo down at the bottom and a little tag. It's very, very nice. The fit is good. It's snug, but the quality is very good. But the fit feels really nice. Prince, go to retrokid.ca. I want to say that. Hold on. I should know this before I start doing this. But anyways, retrokid.ca. Use code FIGHTINSIGHT at checkout and save 40% off the Bloodsport brand, Bloodsport line, until March 31st.
Guys, I'll let you know right now, this shirt, I feel like they've made it with 100% silk. Like this, it's got to be silk.
I like the long sleeve shirt that I had. It's just too hot for me to wear it today. But the long sleeve shirt is really nice. You got the hoodie.
Yes, and you know what? I have it right in front of me.
Nice. Bob
Dan, guys.
Very nice.
You know what? I just wanted to wear the shirts because the shirt has that massive Van Damme.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got the logo right over here, Kumatai.
Yeah, and then looks good.
Look at this. Look at this. Tim, look at this.
Blam! I know, it looks good. All right, friends of the podcast update, Prince. Last Saturday, BKFC held their event. And our buddy, Connor Tierney, if you haven't watched that podcast, you got to go check it out. Dude is the nicest guy, funny guy. He finally gets his debut in BKFC. Mm-hmm. I'm watching his story on Instagram before the fight, a couple days before. And this is the funniest crap, man.
Now, you know what date is? March the 12th. I must have shared it about 1,000 fucking times, right? Yeah. I'm here. I'm on between 3:30 and 4:00. That's all I know, right? That's what I'm estimating anyway, right? Probably between 3:30 and 3:30. But just tune in for fucking 1:00.
How funny is that?
Connor, listen, my gosh, he's the prettiest looking guy in that lineup.
Yeah. Anyways, so funny, right? So the lead up and whatever, then he goes into the fight and puts on a clinic. I'm going to show what was the knockout of the night. He got that award. I don't know what that...
Unbelievable punch. much worth it. Wow, what a statement made by Conor Tierney right now.
There ain't no one who's better than me in this fucking game.
I mean, that's not a one-punch knockout, to be fair. He lit the dude up for five rounds. I think it was in the fifth round knocks him out. But that guy was a mess. Great fight. Tierney did get dropped off a punch. Not badly. It was more like kind of like a flash hit. But did go to the ground, got back up. Man, it was a great fight. But put on a show. We are so happy for our good friend Conor Tierney, man. Dude is the nicest guy.
And Connor does not look like he got touched.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. His head movement, just to protect that beautiful face, must be like...
Yeah. There were people on YouTube. I don't know if you saw, but people on YouTube were commenting on his teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
They were saying how clean his teeth look. And I'm like, I'm responding going like, did you watch our podcast? Is that what you're saying? Because on our podcast, he says, like, I got the nicest teeth, you know, and he's so proud of his teeth. And yep, so people are actually commenting on that. Like, it's the funniest thing. Anyways, congratulations, Conor Tierney, man. What a friggin' debut. BKFC is excited to have him, and his next fight is going to be, you know, he's already co-main, so I don't see him being anything less than a co-main in his next fight. Yep. Great guy. Great guy.
And I don't see why Colgate hasn't sponsored this man.
Yeah. Well, maybe they don't have Colgate in England.
What do they have? Guys, you want to comment?
I don't think they have much.
Popular over there. What type of toothpaste they use in the UK?
What is our other friend of the podcast update? Friend of a friend. When we had Helena Padilla on, she's talked about her buddy, Cazulo Vargas, who is fighting Paddy the Baddie, your best friend and, you know, bromance.
Fighting
this weekend. So, but I do want to say good luck to Cazulo Vargas, because that is a friend of our friend. So good luck to him. He looks good, man. We'll see what happens, Prince. We'll talk about the...
But against Paddy the Baddie, come on now, man. You gotta ride the train. The train is, it's you know, it's
I feel good. Like you should be saying you gotta ride the Paddy wagon.
Ooh.
That's good, man. Right? I thought of that the other day.
Man, I wish we set this up prior to, because that would have been a good lead up. Yes, I'm ready to ride on the one-way ticket to the Paddy wagon.
So let's talk, before we get into all things 1FC, let's talk about the UFC event that's coming up this weekend. I don't really have too many fights that I, you know, am too interested to talk about. Mm-hmm. This is Volkov versus Aspinall. Aside from the Paddy fight, which is on the main card. Is it on the main card? Yeah, it's on the main card. It's third from the final fight. Main event, I do want to talk about this one. Mike Grundy versus Makhwan Amirkhani. I don't know if you know him. Do you know him, Prince Amirkhani? He's the guy that had the 8-second jumping knee knockout debut. Mm-hmm. Had charisma to spare. The guy's amazing. He wins, I think, two or three UFC fights. Then he joins SBG, which is Connor's gym, and now has gone 3-5 in his last 8. I'm telling you, that's an instance of joining the wrong gym. You're on a streak. You join the gym where Conor McGregor is. You think like your life is whatever. He was taking fights very sporadically. I don't know what the deal was, but he's gone 3-5 in his last 8. He's barely hanging on. He has to win this fight.
Yeah.
Love him. Mr. Finland. Love him. But I don't know about that one. Any fights on the card that you're interested in, Prince?
Well, aside from the Paddy and Vargas.
Vargas, fight, yeah.
That's going to be a good one. And then I guess just the main event. I mean, I've got...
Skip right to the main, yeah.
Going straight to the main, right?
And all right. Volkov versus Aspinall. Prince, what do you got?
Aspinall. This kid's a monster. He's in a way. Yeah? I like him. I like this kid. This kid's going to take it. Okay. You know what? Third round knockout. Tom, baby. Mystic Prince does it again.
Third round knockout. I'm going to go with Volkov. I like Volkov's really strange back tattoo, which is a full back tattoo of like a samurai. It's like the weirdest tattoo for a guy named Volkov. And
let's see how this looks like.
I'm going to say decision Volkov.
Oh, really?
And I'm also going to say it's going to be a little bit of a sleeper. I'm not too excited for that fight. The only other fight aside from, you know, I'm interested in that Makwan fight. And I think, what's another fight? You've got Paul Craig buried in the prelims. Yeah, there you go. Prince is showing the tattoo. Show it again. I didn't see it. I was looking down. That's the Volkov tattoo. Yeah, it's like some giant like samurai thing on his back. It's the weirdest thing, man. I'm glad that he got it finished up, though. We've seen it in progress. Paul Craig, big Paul Craig, the guy that broke Jamahal Hill's arm.
Yeah.
And like that beast of a man, he's fighting on the... Where is he? No. I'm in the wrong card now. He's on... I swear he's on the prelims. Hold on. Yeah, he's like third, like not even the main event of the prelims. And he's fighting Nikita Krylov, who's like a big fighter as well. I don't know why they're misplaced down there. But anyways, Paul Craig might be a good fight. I do see Paul Craig winning that by submission for sure. In the second, I will say.
Yeah, this, you know what, it's a little bit of a lukewarm type of fight night. I mean, they don't have, aside from Patty the Batty.
Yeah, they don't have big names. You've got Gunnar Nelson, who, okay, yeah. Fine. This guy was great, you know, back in 2016, but he's gone 1-3 in his last four, and they have him on the main card. So I just find it weird that they wouldn't have put Paul Craig up there and put Gunnar Nelson below. But anyways, UFC fight night coming up. Very excited. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
Right? All right. Let's go to something before we get to the 1X event and we talk about the fights that happened there. Okay. Yeah. We talk, one of the things about 1FC is the multinational kind of organization that it is. Fighters of all different languages. Remember, we talked about how the ref may have hard time like discussing things with them. And that's why they have to use like code words. Right. We talked about like how weird it was, like refs, like they're dealing with so many different nationality people, especially in 1FC, where it seems nobody speaks English or not the same language. Right. We've had plenty of Filipino fighters on from there and stuff that. So, you know, I wanted to talk about this, and this is our friend Jeon Kim. And I noticed this when she fought her last fight, and we've been trying to find a time when we can talk about this. I posted it on our Instagram. There was a story. We took a poll here. But watch this. I'm just going to play a small clip. This is between rounds of her fight. Mm-hmm. She trains, we know, at Syndicate MMA in Vegas, where John Wood is the main coach. He's an English-speaking individual. Jeon Kim speaks no English.
Yep.
How does that relationship go? How is Jeon Kim around in that environment all the time, understanding what's going on? That's why her agent is always around her, Kevin Ju, who was on our podcast as well. He helped translate. You'll see him in the corner here. So just take a quick look at this, Prince.
Slow. She's just swinging big, so we need to make her miss and then hit our targets, okay? When we're getting into those exchanges, she needs to stay low. She's getting a little tall and she's getting caught with that overhand.
All right.
Yep.
So... my question to you, Prince, is you can see him there. He's talking. Kevin is translating. Now, I do want to point out, I had my wife. I played a little bit of a game with my wife. Hello. And I just took the part that Kevin, that the translator said in Korean. And I had my wife tell me what she thought he was saying tell me in English, what is he saying? Mm-hmm. Then I compared it to with what John Wood was saying. Dead on perfect.
Okay, that's good.
Now, that's Kevin, though, being a good translator, right? But obviously that's a concern. But I do want to eliminate that now in case anyone says. So Kevin was translating perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about having a coach that does not speak your language?
I mean, this is okay. I know some things might get lost in translation. If you're a coach and you're trying to, you know, get your fighter to do certain things, throw more strikes, take the person to the ground. It would be an advantage, but I mean, I don't think it's like a requirement.
Wait, what's an advantage?
To to be able to understand what your coach is trying to tell you. But I mean,
that's not the advantage. That's the norm. I mean,
there's tons of fighters out there that don't speak English and have English speaking coaches in there.
Really? I don't know that.
Look at,
hold on. How many fighters do you see in between rounds not speaking the same language as their coach? That's very rare, man.
You know what I have? Oh my gosh. The fighter just slipped my head, but I'm just saying, I mean, look, if your coach is telling you, look, you need to be more busy, punch, punch, kick, punch, punch. You don't need translation for that. You just go there and you get the job done. You swing some more. Like, there's not much the coach can do for you. You are in charge of what you do inside the cage. And so, you know, the language piece, I mean, there might be some certain things that, you know, that can, you know, play to your advantage in terms of what the coach might be able to tell you. But I mean, on my end, I think, you know, I don't think it'd be a big factor of, you know,
really
who wins the fight.
I mean, okay.
Okay. So I'm,
really,
I'm
100% against you. I think there's a huge disadvantage if your coach doesn't speak your language. I think it is difficult in the gym when you're training. And I think it's going to be difficult when you're in the gym around other people, because you're not going to hear and learn through osmosis. Like, you can't even understand what the people are saying around you. Mm-hmm. And then when you're in the fight, your coach is not going to be able to shout out instruction to you. Like, I don't get it. You even said, like, go, go, punch, punch. But he can't even say that if she can't understand that. Or she, anyone. I'm not talking about Jeon Kim, okay? So we were using Jeon Kim as an example. Please do not get me wrong. Love Jeon Kim, like one of my favorite fighters. So, and she's come on this podcast, so forever we will support her. Not her, somebody else. Mm-hmm. I think it's a huge miss. Now, I did.
But look, Tim, I mean, okay. In the heat of the round, okay, there's certain things that the coach, okay, so maybe certain small little adjustments that coach can tell you during a fight that'll help you win a fight, yeah, or help a round. But at the end of the day, I mean, the fighter decides what happens in there. I mean, not everything the coach is going to say.
Sure, but now you're dismissing the whole role of a coach during the fight. It's not just you, man. It matters if you don't have a coach there with you.
But yeah, I mean, no, I'm telling you, like, a coach is important, but I'm just saying, I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, some of the things that you do in the quick cage is on you. I mean, the coach is going to tell you, okay, you need to mix it up, you need to throw here and there. But I mean, you know, it's very rare that, like, okay, if you follow the coach's instruction down to a T, it's going to gain you a victory or a knockout.
What about jujitsu defense? What about, you know, push on the hip. I know you should know all those things, but in the heat of the fight, you may really rely on your coach screaming out examples. We've seen where fighters are on the ground and they turn to look at their corner. Mm-hmm. Like, we know they're looking there for direction.
Yeah. And
anyways,
that's where your manager has to come in and be able to, you know, figure things out. So then, okay, if English or language is an issue, then you got to make it easier for that fighter to understand what is going on.
And if you have a good translator, there's been times where I was with my buddy, Vince, who speaks Portuguese, mm-hmm, and he's listened to Brazilian fighters when they say their post-fight speech. Mm-hmm. And then the translator says their speech for them. And my buddy's like, that's not at all what they said. My wife has seen instances of Korean fighters when they say something in Korean, and then the translator says something very short and not what they say. And she goes, he missed like a whole big point of that speech. Like, I forget who it was. There was someone, and my wife was saying, like, man, like, he missed the whole point of that. And it's just because they're getting a quick thing. Now, I reached out to Jeon Kim's agent, Kevin Ju, and thank you, Kevin. He spoke to me at length to explain to me some stuff that he does. And I think that this really enlightened me, so I want to share this with our viewers and listeners, friends. First of all, Kevin has 28 fights under him.
Yep.
He has fought 28 times. This guy knows the fight game. There's one thing that's a big difference. But he said that he does the whole camp with her. Mm-hmm. He's there with her in the gym. He's understanding and listening what's going on. And they have codes that John Wood is able to say. So he has code words that he's able to say. And when Gian hears those words, she knows what that means. So if he wants to say like jab, jab, cross, he'll say baseball. I'm making this up. But he'll say a word in English that they both recognize as being this combo. So that's one way they get around it, which is great.
Yeah.
Because that way he doesn't have to scream to Kevin for Kevin to scream, right? Mm-hmm. He can just say these words that now they both understand. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, Kevin said that when, you know, when you hear that 10 second,
yep.
Right?
Chop!
he says at the 10 second mark before the round ends, the coach turns to him and says, this is what I'm going to tell her. I'm going to tell her she needs to do this. She needs to do that. She needs to do that. So the interpreter already knows going into the cage what is needed to be said. Because my problem was, is dude, when you go into that cage, you have to spend time saying it to him. And then he has to say it. You've lost half mm-hmm. your time. Mm-hmm. He also said that it's even less than half the time, he said, because it's very important. And this is more like just a coaching thing. But he said, when you get into the cage, the first 3 to 5 seconds is just breathe, calm mm-hmm. down. Yeah. He says you need to get them to breathe and calm down before you can start to give them instruction. He says, otherwise they're lost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they don't even know the round is over.
Yep. Yep.
So he says the first 3 to 5, he goes, then maybe even, no, I think he said 20 seconds. Because he said they normally count that they've got 40 seconds. Anyways, hearing all that, Prince, if you had to pick a coach that doesn't speak your language or speaks it, what are you doing?
Yeah, well, okay.
Are you really just going for the better coach, or are you going for the one that speaks your language?
For me, it'd be, you know, if we don't speak the language, I mean, and you're a better coach and you're able to teach me something about my game, of course I'm going to pick you, because as a coach also, you need to be able to adapt to your fighter's needs. So if language is a barrier, you need to figure out on your end as well, okay, so how do I make it easier? Of course, during a fight, you're not going to make instructions long-winded. You're going to make sure it's going to be like, okay, bam, 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 do bam, 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 do this, this, and that. And then, okay, next.
But are you losing? But then are you losing something? Like, if I have to worry about shortening my words mm-hmm. or saying it to the translator so they can say it, I can't grab you and go, Prince, wake the fuck up. Mm-hmm. You got to do this and blah. I lose that ability to like emotionally drive you. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like if you want to do that, I mean, a part of our language, I mean, a good chunk of it is body language. So if your coach is, okay, punch, yeah. do this, of course you're going to read through your head, oh my gosh, my coach is telling me to right. do this. I could see it in his stance. I could see it in his tone and how he's trying to express something. So he knows business. Okay, so this is what he wants me to do. Bam, I need to apply it, right? So body language is also a part of communication as well. So if a fighter sees that, then he knows that he needs to step it up, or he needs to calm it down. He needs to do this, right? So, you know, not everything needs to be through, you know, open communication. It could be nonverbal as well, right? So
you are too calm and collected today, Prince.
I had sleep.
I have no sleep, and I am drinking my wakewater.ca, which is a caffeinated sparkling beverage. Caffeinated sparkling beverage, Prince. So I'm quite wound up. This is so good, man. Use code FIGHTINSIGHT for 10% off at wakewater.ca. I don't know, man. I don't know. I, you know, it reminds me of back when the LPGA, nobody cares about this, but LPGA, the Ladies Golf League, back in 2008,
yeah,
they released something saying all golfers must speak English by next year, otherwise you're suspended. Really? And they did this because all the South Korean females were dominating the LPGA. And the LPGA said, well, we can't market these people. Like, they can't speak. It's for difficult for sponsors and whatever. Then the public just murdered them.
Wow.
And they reneged on that thing. As far as I can tell, they reneged on it and didn't. But it got a lot of heat in 2008 because they tried to do that. So there's also the English thing also to me is also about like being able to connect with fans and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like there is that benefit too. But mm-hmm. we're just talking about the coaching thing. I don't know, Prince. Yeah. It's a tough one for me.
What about the
ability to have like friends in the gym and talk?
Look, as a fighter, if you are in a country where it's primarily English speaking,
or any other language that you don't speak, like I could go to Korea and train there with Team Mad, mm-hmm. which I would love to do one day. You know. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I'm saying,
you're going to say go learn the language?
It would be good to pick up, you know, words here and there, right? Just, you know, the basics just to get you through. Because, I mean, if you're going to spend a good chunk of your training time down in that country, then you need to pick up some of the words, right? If I was training in Brazil, man, I'd be picking up, like, you know, Portuguese as soon as I step foot into the land.
Yeah, you know what, though? Some people are really good with language and some people are not. Like, I don't know, man. I watch a lot of Korean dramas on Netflix. I picked up like one word, maybe. Like, I'm terrible with languages. So there are people that are just bad at it, too.
Actually, for our viewers and listeners, what is that one word, Tim? If you maybe could share the Korean word.
No, I know lots of words. I'm just kidding. But, you know, but I'm just saying, like, it is hard. Like, especially if you're fighting. I mean, like, you're constantly getting knocked around.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, well,
Goguma would be my Goguma. Main word.
Okay, what does that mean, Tim?
Goguma?
Yes.
It's a sweet potato.
Sweet potato. And my word would be Kamsamnida.
Oh, yeah. What you said to Jeon Kim when she was on. All right, let's talk about the event. Let's talk about 1FC, 1X. Oh,
wow.
This is why we have our guest on, by the way. So Grace Cleveland. You'll hear all about her. But Grace Cleveland, lovely, lovely girl. Man, that interview, I love it. I watched it back before we started this. Such a great person, man. She's just such a good kid. You know, I'm excited to see her fight. But 1X, I'll put the poster up. Bum, bum, bum. 1X. Okay. Huge, huge event, Prince.
Yeah. Stacked. Wow.
Stacked card. Massive card. Oh, my goodness. I think I forgot to put this up as well, but that's for the 1FC. That's for the UFC event, right? And that's from MMA Social Squad. Love these guys. Check them out. But okay, 1X. This is the big event. This is March 26th. This is in 2 weeks, but we're talking about it now because we want to drive you people in North America who never care about 1X, 1FC. Damn you.
Mm-hmm.
So many good fights. So many great fights. Let's talk about it. Okay, there are tons of great fights on this card. Let's Elise Anderson opens up the card on the undercard. Former guest of our podcast, go watch it. Elise Anderson, wicked from America, man. She is like the Creed, the Creed in Rocky, where she comes out with all the red, white, and blue in her hair. She looks amazing. Great fighter. She's fighting against Asha Roca.
Mm-hmm.
On the main event. So good luck to Elise Anderson. Love Elise Anderson. She's going to kick ass. Good luck to her. On the card, you've got Lito Atawang.
Yes.
Your Filipino brother.
Hi. Shout out.
Brother. Is he coming on the podcast? He's supposed to, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got him set up. Oh, yeah. He's going to come up. He's dead. You know what? We'll let you guys know when that drops, but he's definitely coming. Team Lakai, guys. You guys are.
Let's get Lito after this fight. Let's get Lito on. Let's get him in April. Itsuki Hirata, a fan favorite, the one that unfortunately beat our friend Elise Anderson. But yes. Itsuki is great to watch.
Amazing.
She fights Jin Radzuan. I feel like Itsuki is going to murder that girl. I think Itsuki is headed for the title. Like, she's just a few wins away, right? Yeah. Very marketable. If you understand what I'm saying, Prince, very marketable. Great fighter. So good luck to her.
Yeah.
But the next fight on the card is Zamboanga versus Ham 2.
part two, baby.
This was the fight. So there's Denise Zamboanga, former guest of the podcast. That's our most watched podcast by a mile, mm-hmm. versus Sohee Ham from South Korea, former Deep Jewels champion, former Risen champion. Beats Zamboanga mm-hmm. in the atomweight tournament. Controversial win. I just watched the fight just now, Prince. It was tight, man. I know Zamboanga should have won, but
yeah.
it's not the worst thing in the world. Sohee Ham then withdraws from the tournament. Prince, for those listening on the podcast, withdraws from the tournament due to a finger injury. I'm telling you, 1FC told her, get the hell out of this tournament. We're going to redo that fight. Right?
Yeah.
If she had a finger injury, just give her like an extra 5 days to recover. Like, I mean, how bad was this finger injury? Which is, I think, the only thing. Anyways, Ham versus Zamboanga, Prince. Prediction, how does this go?
I'm telling you, Denise is going to start off the round with a flying jump kick. She's going to go in there and just try and drop kick this, finish this fight. I'm saying second round submission, Denise. This is a wild. That's a wild guess, but I'm just saying, Denise second round submission. And I think Denise is going to be busy. Denise is going to make sure this does not go to the cards, because if it does, it's a game.
Yeah, she's not going to run the risk that this happens again.
Are you kidding me? No way. That's like a bad taste in her mouth for sure. What do you think, Tim?
Oh, I love Sohee Ham. You know, like, I know Denise was on our podcast, and we hope that she comes back one day. But damn, I would love to have Sohee Ham on. We're also supposed to be media, Prince, so we're supposed to not be too biased. Mm-hmm. For that reason, I am going to say Sohee Ham takes this. In the first fight, Sohee Ham spends two rounds fully defending the takedown. Doesn't get taken down, maybe like for a second. Zamboanga could not take her down. And every time Ham throws a punch, it's deadly. Like,
yeah,
Ham is jacked, man. I think she's going to learn her takedown defense even better. I think she's going to learn how to keep distance better. She seemed very content with just like getting stuck against the cage. I think this time she gets off the cage, engages in the striking, and I say decision Ham.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to say finish because I don't want that to happen to Denise, but I think Ham's going to do it. I don't know. Ham looked really good, man. And people don't realize she's a champion in multiple other organizations. She's a veteran of the sport. And I think she gets it done, man.
But have you seen Denise's training videos and how
she's looking
really good right now, Tim? Like, I honestly think Denise is going to go in there and she might even throw like a chair or table at this person just to make sure she gets that victory. I honestly, the whole kitchen sink. That's what I think. She's going to throw the whole kitchen sink.
It'll be an interesting fight. We'll see what happens, but Zamboanga has to come out like a bat out of hell, has to come out on fire, has to take the fight to her immediately and get her down. You can't just spend time against the cage and hold her there. You got to take her down or disengage and beat the crap out of her. She's got to do something different. That's the thing. But Ham is deadly, man.
I think the ref's going to be like, get to your corner, Denise. The bell hasn't rung yet. Wait. She's gonna full steam ahead. Because this is like revenge. Revenge season, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. Remember, too, I just want to say, Sohee Ham is on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fight win streak. Hasn't lost since 2016 when she was in the UFC. The minute she left the UFC, goes on a 6-fight win streak, winning title after title. We'll see. We'll see what happens, but that is a great fight if you are at all interested in 1FC. The next fight that I want to talk about is the co-main event. Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse, UFC legend, fighting Rod Tang from Thailand. This is a flyweight freestyle fight. So for those that are listening to our podcast, you may not understand what the hell this is. They are fighting alternating rounds. They are fighting Muay Thai, then MMA. Then Muay Thai, then MMA. Until they have a victor, And this is because Mighty Mouse is obviously an MMA fighter and Rod Tang is Muay Thai, but they have agreed to this weird fight. Prince, what the hell happens in this fight?
Oh man, I just because, okay, Johnson, you know, I mean, if it goes to the ground, Rod Tang is gonna
it's over.
It's over, right? I just hope he lets it play out a little bit. Just at least make it to the third.
Who?
Johnson. Like, I mean,
no, he can't. Okay, he can't let it play out because then the next round you go back into Muay Thai. You've got this killer throwing, you know, tree trunks at you.
Okay, so you know what? Johnson should like play it out. So the first round, see how it goes. If he goes to town, second round, just finish it off. Just submission, game over, MMA.
Like, finish it as fast as possible. Because every Muay Thai round is very dangerous for you.
Yeah, Rod Tang's like, my God, like a tank. But yeah. I mean, this is, everyone's excited. I'm really excited about that bout. Like, I mean, this is going to be, you know, it's going to be a test for Johnson. I mean,
here's going to be the worst thing is if it ends in the first round and we never get to see the alternating rounds. Like,
that would suck.
You know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is that it's going to be differing sports. If it ends in the first round and you never get seen, like if it starts in MMA and Demetrius just takes him down, submits him, you're like, oh crap, we never even saw him fight Muay Thai. Reverse, if they only fight Muay Thai and Rod Tang beats him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the odds that Demetrius beats him in Muay Thai or Rod Tang beats him in MMA? What are the odds of that? Like 0%?
Listen, at this point, if this ends up like Johnson winning by Muay Thai during a Muay Thai round, then man, we're gonna cut and paste this bad boy and add it to the reel. Like, that's gonna be insane. Yeah.
All right, last fight, Prince, Angela Lee versus Stamp. We talk about this in our interview with Grace coming up in just a few minutes, Prince. We talk about it in the podcast. We don't need to go through it. What is your prediction on the fight now? Final prediction.
Okay, final prediction. I think it's going to be Stamp by decision.
Yeah, I've got Stamp by third round knockout.
Ooh.
You're going to hear what Grace thinks about coming back from pregnancy, but I think Stamp's going to take it. I think Stamp has been very active. I think she's going to take it third round. Yeah. Prince, I think... time wise, we're good. We're going to get going to the interview with Grace just so we can keep our whole thing under 1 hour as we try to. Buddy, this has been a good time. Time flew by. How did we talk for 37 minutes already?
I know, like, time went by so quickly. Well, guys, you know what? Why don't we shout out to our sponsors as well? Shout out to Hula. So we're going to start off with Hula Cleaning Services. Contact Hula Cleaning Services for all our carpet, fitness, commercial, construction cleaning needs. You can find them at www.hulacleaning.com.
Yeah. If you've got a dirty office, dirty gym, dirty whatever, some sort of commercial place that needs cleaning, call these guys, man. These guys are great sponsors of ours. Thank you so much. Go get your midday squares. I ate one today. I felt good. Go get your wakewater.ca. And go buy some freaking clothes from retrokid.ca.
RK, baby. RK.
Prince, stand up. That shirt looks so good. Stand up. That's a little bit. That's nice. Oh, you're not wearing pants.
Okay. Oh, man.
That's interesting.
It's a Zoom meeting call.
Prince, we're out of here. Guys, have a wonderful time. Take care and enjoy this interview. Yes, Timmy B. Prince D. All right, our guest today is an undefeated atomweight fighter that was set to make her 1FC debut in the Grand Prix tournament when a sudden medical issue unfortunately put her on the sidelines. However, she's continued to be an inspiration to others, to her daughter, as she recovers, trains, and pursues a career in the medical field, all while fans hope to see her back in the cage one day soon. Here to tell her story and to discuss the upcoming huge 1FC 1X event, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast from Denver, Colorado,
Grace Thai Kitten Cleveland.
Hey, how are you? How guys? You doing?
Good, Grace. Hey, Grace. Thank you so much for joining us, Grace. How are you today?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much. We've been huge fans of yours. And of course, you know, when we saw you were lined up for that Atomweight Grand Prix, undefeated American fighter, we're like, holy cow, here's someone that's going to tear this up. And you were set to face, I think you were first fighting, was it Ritu? Was your first
opponent? It was...
Meng Bo.
Yeah, it was Ming Bo.
Meng Bo. And then you were supposed to fight Jenilyn Olsom.
Yes.
Wow. Right? And we've had Jenilyn Olsom on the podcast. She's a great person. Unfortunately, something happened like right around fight week. So for those that don't know, can you explain kind of what happened briefly?
It has to do with my neck. So like, if most people don't know me already, like in 2017, I had a spinal cord injury. I had my C1 and C2. Which is like a very like dangerous area to have a injury. And also I was like paralyzed instantly from that injury a long time ago, but I made a recovery in Thailand actually. But it's a recurrent thing sometimes. Like I was fine and I never had this issue before, but then like, I don't know, I just kept getting dizzy for a couple of weeks before my fight and I couldn't stop spinning. And I don't know if it had to do with my neck or not, so.
And then they found something, and then now you're in rehab. And you can, if you follow Grace Cleveland on her Instagram, sometimes you post like some of your training, and you're like in like a, looks like a Star Wars, like a Jedi.
Oh,
training
it's like a thing. Gyro. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some like neuro rehabilitation, did a lot of testings and stuff to try and like make it better. I think it's good to have different like ways of like healing. You know, I don't think one thing's always the best. So,
sure.
Mm hmm.
No, that's crazy.
You know, Grace, you know what? When I saw some of the videos of your, when you had the injury and you were rehabbing from it, it was just like, I could see the determination, just like you pushing through. And man, I can hear the Kanye West beat. Do that one.
Right.
I had that going in my head. My gosh, it was like a tear right in my eye. So, I mean, look at you now, right? You're about to fight.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So that's crazy, Grace. And I mean, before I get on with the interview, we always ask people for fan questions. And so one thing I do want to show you is a poster that one of our friends at MMA Social Squad made for you. So we'll use this to promote your podcast, but bam.
Oh, I love it.
So there's that. I'll send you
skills.
I know these guys are great. These are our friends. And so I'll send you a copy of that as well, but that's pretty cool. one fan question I got, I feel like I got to ask you this off the onset so that we really get to know you, Grace. The question is, why did you have to wear a leash on your birthday vacation to Puerto Rico? And this is from at LilypadBJJ.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, so when I used to get drunk, yeah. I'm like one of those friends that like to wander off and go on my own and stuff. Okay. So my friends decided to give me a leash so they could like not lose me during the night.
And Grace, are you like, is the other end tied to another person just in case like they get plastered and like, you know when
I know, no, they're gonna have to come with me.
No, that's funny. When you said that you were doing your rehab in Thailand, you were doing the rehab in Thailand or you got injured in Thailand?
No, so I got injured out here in Colorado and then like I was in a hospital for a month. And then literally 4 months later, I decided to go to Thailand, still like, still with my neck injury. But I just got asked to, because Fairtex was sponsoring fighters, my friend knew them. And so I got asked to like, hey, let's go to Thailand, like, let's do this. Like, and so I was like, why not? You know, like you only live once. I just like had this crazy traumatic injury. I can't say no. So I went to Thailand for a year and trained at Fairtex, and that's where I met Stamp.
That's amazing. So yeah. Now I have to ask you, like all the girls in the 1FC, especially the atomweight division, which I'm telling you, that's got to be one of the best divisions in any organization, any sport.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It's stacked. It's got characters, right? Like, I mean, all people from all different nationalities, all different countries, and they've all got their own style, man. Like they all look cool. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to ask you, you guys all seem to be very friendly with one another. Like anytime you post something, like Itsuki Harada will like it, you know, Zamboanga will like it. Everybody seems to like each other's stuff. Is that like a thing? Did that just naturally happen? You don't see that with like the UFC fighters as much.
I think maybe it has to do with culture-wise, maybe. I feel like in America, we kind of make this, like... You know, I noticed, actually, being in America and then, like watching other people fight in different countries, Americans boo. In other countries, they don't boo. They cheer people on, even if they lose. And that's, I think, is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And there seems to be more, like, a sisterhood between the fighters.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all know we work hard. And I just, maybe it's their personality too, which is awesome because I like him.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. But so I know that you were set to make your 1FC debut. And I asked you just before the podcast started, but you're still signed with 1FC and you're still hoping to make a return there?
Yeah. I just actually talked to my neurologist recently and she just told me some good news. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I've been waiting for that. It's the process. But you got to be smart too when it comes to, especially from my injury.
Oh yeah.
And so are you are still training now, like you're still involved in training? Maybe not.
Yeah, I still train, but I'm about to graduate school actually in April. Yay. So now I'm like, it's on.
No, that's amazing. So and then yeah, so let's get to your schooling. You're doing surgical technologist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so to explain to people, what is that?
So basically, like, I set up the OR, I make sure all the equipments are there, and then for each surgery, I make sure all the supplies, sutures, and instruments that the surgeons are going to use are there, and then I assist with the surgeon. So basically, when he needs anything, I give it to him as fast as possible, so there's no delay in the surgery.
Nice.
Wow. That's cool. How long was your program?
It was 17 months.
Okay.
Oh. Okay, well, that's kind of long. Yeah, nice. Congrats. Yeah,
I mean, I definitely want to be prepared, though. Someone's life on the table.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And, you know, we've talked to other people that talk about how Dana White has said that fighting isn't a career, it's an opportunity. So, like, what I like about you, and I think what people would be inspired about, is that not only are you a badass fighter, you know, undefeated, going to be in 1FC, but, like, you're setting yourself up for a good life behind the scenes. Like, you have a career, you have a thing, and because you have a young daughter, so yeah. You know, you have to be smart about what you're doing for your life, right? So how important is that for you to have had, like, to create a career for yourself aside from fighting?
You know, like, it was, I'm very proud of myself, and I feel like fighting actually kind of, like, helped make the transition even easier, because you're, like, more disciplined, you're more, you know, have focus, and, like, also, like, the adrenaline, like, being in an OR, you kind of get a little bit of adrenaline because, like, you don't want to piss a surgeon off. Someone's life is in your hand. But it's like, I feel like because I fought and stuff, I can handle my nerves better because of that. So
nice.
And it's good. And it's good therapy too, right? Because when you're so tired of helping people, you just want to kick somebody, right? So there you go.
Oh, definitely.
You're going for, right? You just kick some people. I'm like, hey, and you get paid to do it too.
Exactly. Yeah. I was talking to more ortho doctors and I was like, I'll just beat some people up and then recommend you as our surgeons.
Yeah,
nice, there you go. Yeah, you should have their business cards ready so that at the end of the fight you can just hand them the business.
Yes,
that'd be nice.
I'm just like, yeah, let me just finish this leg lock and I'll send you over to Dr. Smith over there.
Yeah. I got you.
Nice. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the big 1FC event. This is 1X, and so I'm just going to put a poster on for those watching or for those listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever. So this is March 26th, stacked card, right?
Yes.
The headline appears to be the championship fight between Angela Lee versus Stamp Fairtex, and you've mentioned that you've trained with Stamp and you've met her.
Yes.
She goes through, wins the Grand Prix. I know she was highly touted, but I don't know that a lot of people were giving her, like, their bet to win it all. But she was so impressive. What did you think about Stamp Fairtex winning that tournament?
I felt like she was going to win it because she was.
Yeah.
I mean, like, watching her, like, the progression and grappling and wrestling too, like, it's amazing. She's made so much improvement and she's always. I know she's always training, like, she's in there working hard. I know everyone does, but she's a special breed.
Yeah, she's really awesome. Not only that, but she just seems like such a character, like the way she dances, and she's such, like, a goof, like, she's got a funny personality. Mm-hmm. But man, yeah, she's been making real improvements. Now, you recently had a baby. How old is your daughter?
She's 11 months. Oh, no, sorry, 13 months.
Okay. 13 months. So very close to Angela Lee's baby's age? Yeah, I think
her baby's maybe a month behind mine or something.
Okay. Wow. And is Angela Lee's a girl or a boy? It's a girl, right?
It's a girl too.
Wait, so your two daughters could fight in 20 years.
I know, for real, right? Imagine that. I could totally see
that. Can you see that? That's going to be awesome. All right. Now, as a mother coming off giving birth, do you think Angela Lee will be back to her old self? Do you think it's going to, like, this is a huge fight for her to come back to. What do you think about that, being a mother, like, of the same time?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's not easy, but it's also, like, you get this drive and motivation. Honestly, after I had a baby, I feel like you get this, like, even more woman power. It's so interesting, but you get, like, stronger. It's I don't know if the hormones that happen when you're pregnant, but it's, like, you turn to, like, a superhero.
Okay.
Yeah, you're fighting for somebody. You're fighting for someone, right? Someone that you love and for a future, too, right? So, you know, it's one of those things, right? Actually, Grace, I wanted to ask you, like, so, you know, everyone's got their thing, right? Stamp dances and stuff. What do you think you're going to bring into 1FC when you say you do your first premiere?
I mean, like a show wise.
Yeah. Like, will you like shoot down from the stadium, like, you know, paraglide down or something, or
I could see myself like dressing up like cosplay.
nice. Okay. If you dress up like cosplay, what is the Grace Cleveland cosplay?
I did it. I would be Eto from Tokyo Ghoul.
Oh, nice. All right, cool. There you go. They will love that. When you do stuff like that, I swear that audience loves that.
Yeah. I was going to save that outfit if I was ever going to fight for Ryzen. Because I like Ryzen.
Okay.
Too. I was like, yeah.
Nice. So has your dream... Now, you were born in Thailand?
Yes.
Okay, so born in Thailand, then you come to America... was your dream as a fighter always to fight in the Asian promotions because of your heritage, or?
No, I mean, like, I always wanted to fight, but, like, I'm so happy one championship came, like, honestly, like, the world needed it.
Yeah.
But, like, I was thinking about the UFC, but one championship is just such an amazing promotion, though.
Yeah.
Just how it run, and then, like, how they, like, I don't know, they show more of, like, the fighters, like, where they come from, who they are, you know, not just right. Like talking shit.
yeah no, they definitely have like a great respect for their fighters and the way that they promote them. The one thing I'm a little bit annoyed with, don't tell your bosses, but how come they're still fighting in empty arenas? Like, the arenas are still kind of empty, right? And I'm just like,
Singapore?
Yeah, like, oh, it must be a Singapore thing.
They're super strict. Singapore is like crazy strict about COVID too. Like, yeah. They might be on your level.
Yeah. Yeah, the Toronto level lockdown. I swear, isn't it, as a kid, wasn't the thing that, like, the thing was that, like, in Singapore, if you spit gum on the ground, like, you can go to jail?
That's there, right? I think it is true. I hear that all the time, like, when I travel there.
Yeah. I just find it weird that 1FC doesn't move location somewhere else so they can have a crowd. Like, you've got these massive events, massive fights. I miss the crowd, you know? Would you miss the crowd? Like, if you were fighting?
Yeah, for sure. The crowd makes it fun, definitely. Yeah, it's. I wonder, they might have, like, a deal, though, that makes it kind of, you know?
Like, I feel bad. Grace is going to waste all her time putting on the Wicked cosplay, and there's going to be, like, three cameramen.
You know? thank goodness for social media.
All right, yeah, thank God, yeah.
And man, it's so quiet in those arenas that if anyone passed gas, you'd hear it. They'd be like, oh God, who did that?
Especially during a fight.
During a fight, like, man, that's gross. Terrible. Right?
Yeah, terrible. All right, who wins between Stamp and Angela Lee?
That is such a tough fight because I feel like Angela's an amazing wrestler.
Yeah.
I think she's a decent striker too, but Stamp is such a great striker. She's good at her range, and then also because of her Muay Thai background, they're amazing. Their hip pressure, their hips are like, because they're like, when they clinch and stuff, you always have to have your hips in, and then they're always getting swept, so their just balance is incredible. So like I'm kind of interested to see if Angela can even get her down, you know.
All right,
if she doesn't, I think Stamp can win it.
What's that?
If she doesn't get Stamp down, I think she can win it.
But Stamp submitted Ritu.
I know. Yeah, she got her. Stamps strong. But I don't know. Angela's a black belt, and she's really good. So
I don't know. I know one FC. One. Okay, let's just be honest with me, Grace. One FC wants Angela Lee to win, right? They love that Lee family.
Yeah, there is some favoritism.
Yeah, they love that Lee family, man. All right, the other fight I want to ask you about is Zamboanga versus Sohee Ham, or Ham Sohee.
Oh, I know.
The rematch is coming. Everybody's been dying for that fight because of what happened.
Yeah.
So my first question to you is, you watched the first one, obviously?
Yeah, I think the rematch is appropriate. Of course. Like it was kind of,
A very weird decision.
Yeah.
But Ham Sohee is a beast. She's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And so who do you think takes that fight?
I want her to take it.
Ham?
Yeah. I would like to see Ham win that fight. She's tough. Yeah. And, I think she's a rising championship, too, in Adam White.
Yep. She's multi promotional champion. She's had lots of belts. Her outfit was very cool. Did you see, on her outfit, she had the picture of her dog on the side? You got to look. Her outfit, it was, a cool yellow outfit, but on the side, she had, her dog, drawn in.
Yeah, I gotta go for it. If you're a dog person, you love your dog.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Grace, actually, before we go, Grace, I hear some chain rattling. Do you have a pet?
Yeah, it's my dog.
I knew it. I thought it was what's going on? Where's it?
All right, if he comes over, show him to us. We love it. Yes. I have a couple of fan questions, Grace, before we let you go. Grateful Happy Life asks, what are your tips for balancing kids, school, training, and work? How do you do it all?
My goodness, it is a lot. Sometimes I ask myself that too. That's a tough question. I'm thankfully I have good support. I communicate to my mother or the mother-in-law, and then I support the baby daddy. Yeah. So I don't know. I try to train every other night.
Okay.
And then school, I don't know. I feel like I'm just more fortunate. Because if you're on your own, oh my God. People that can do it on their own, they're freaking incredible.
So utilize the support system.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. Or make a schedule. If you really want to, work out, and you just got to, write on paper. And then, your hours, what you're available.
Nice. Yeah.
Man, Grace, I feel bad. Do you want us to babysit? I could take over Mondays and Saturdays. Just let us know. And when your clinicals are, so we'll figure it out. After the podcast. That's fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We do a lot of stuff for our guests, Grace. So, don't feel bad about asking us.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
At MMA Social Squad, they're the guys that made the poster. They asked, and I like this, what would make you feel like you're back 100%? Is it going to be when you walk in? Is it going to be the first punch? Is it going to be your first win? When are you going to feel that you are now back?
Yeah, I think, when I get back in the cage and I'm actually there weighing in or fighting, it's going to be great.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Any ideas on who you want as a first opponent? If you could take your pick.
I told Jin Lee, I apologized to her about not being able to fight her, so I'd be down to fight her. I'm down to fight anyone, though, so I just got to have a good fight camp, and I'm ready.
All right. And where do you do your fight camp? What is your gym? I apologize.
I train at Eastern Centennial, but I train with a lot of the Elevation Fight Team.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Cool. And Prince. What did you have? Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to ask, any idea on intro music? Because this is very important.
Some hip hop.
Nice.
All right. We heard that 1FC doesn't allow you to exactly pick the song. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah. When I was going to do a walkout song, though, I don't know. They asked me what song and I sent it, and they're cool with the song I picked.
Oh, okay. Nice. What was the song? Can we ask?
It's actually Attack on Titan, kind of dubstep EDM intro.
Nice. That's pretty awesome. All right. Yeah, cool. Grace, thank you so much for coming to the podcast. People have to watch the 1FC event. And Grace, we are so excited for your return. Do we have an estimated time? I know you said you got good news today. Is it 2022?
I don't have any date yet. I mean, I hope hopefully like July or August, I'm thinking.
Oh, so. Wow. Oh, that's really okay. Soon. I was saying 2022 and I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah, it'll be in 2020. So.
Nice. That is awesome. Grace, we're so excited for you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. People have been dying to hear from you. People want to know all about you. So anytime someone comes on this podcast, we call you a friend of the podcast and we will always promote your fights, always look out for you, and we'll tell people about what you're doing. So before we let you go, is there anything that you want to say or anybody that you want to shout out?
Oh, no, I just appreciate you guys. You guys made my day. And to all the fans that still support me and like, you know, life's not easy, but you just kind of keep going.
That's right. That's and it. You got a new tattoo last week.
I did.
What the? That was a big tattoo.
Yes, it's a flower.
Okay, nice. Any symbolism behind that? What was that?
I have a bunch of flowers. I just love flowers. I think, you know, it's life.
All right.
Come here.
Yeah, that's the most important part. I was going to ask you.
There you go.
There you go.
What is your dog's name?
His name's Trunk.
Chunk?
Trunks.
From Goonies?
From Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, from Dragon Ball. Oh, damn.
Trunks. Trunks.
Yeah, Trunks.
There you go.
Oh, I thought it was Chunks. Like, from Grace, thank you so much for joining the podcast, Grace. We appreciate it so much. All the best to you in your recovery. All the best in your career as a surgical tech. And everything that you do, man. We'll be fans of yours always. And thank you so much.
I'm a fan of you guys.
Yes, of course. Have a good one, Grace. Thank
bye.
You. Okay, bye-bye. See ya, you too.
Take care.
The magic of television, Prince. That's it. That was the interview. Hope you guys liked it. Around now, you'll start to see things that you can click on. Prince, anything you want to say before we go?
You guys, again, you can follow, subscribe to us on YouTube, listen, follow us on Spotify, and follow us on Instagram. We've got amazing, amazing content. There'll be amazing, amazing guests coming through. So just stay tuned and trust me, fight in sight. There's more things to come.
Yeah, our meme game is killing it, Prince. Our memes are fire. All right, buddy.
Fire.
Have a good one.
Peace.